Now I'll turn it over to Brother AJ.
Preach. Preach. My God, preach.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. You don't have to turn here. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to read this. This is not where I'm preaching at. This just helps my heart a whole lot.
Go
so
ahead.
You just bear with me. I was reading this today as I was sitting there at the house, and boy, I'm glad that I can find stuff in my Bible. But it just helps me get down the way a little bit. I was over here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and I got down here to verse number 15, and it says, "And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." And I like what it says at the very end of this passage of Scripture. It says, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." And boy, that just helped my heart a whole lot. And then I got down to verse number 17. It says, "You should not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judea and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow, and go out against them. For the Lord will be with you." And that just blessed my heart. I don't know about nobody else. But I sure do like that there's some things that I just can't do, and God just says, "Stand still, and I'll take care of it if you just stand still and let me," and he'll fight the battle for you, and that just blesses my heart. But I'll be preaching tonight out of the book of Daniel, chapter number 6, real familiar passage of Scripture. And I believe the second time I ever preached here, this is where I preached out of, and it was a sweet memory for me to think about that. And then and God allowed us to be back here tonight. You just pray for me. I'm a nervous wreck tonight. I always am, but I'm real nervous tonight. We'll be in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and you just may be seated, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. But we'll read verse number 22, and the Bible says, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, I have done no hurt." And we'll ask God to help us. Lord, we come to you, God, one more time. And God, we pray, Lord, that you just help us tonight, Lord, as we've gathered together. And God, I know, Lord, that standing before these people, Lord, is a man that's nothing. But God, I'm asking, Lord, that you'll help us for a little while. God, just to preach the word of God, Lord, how you want us to. And God, I pray, God, that you help us all, Lord, to have attentive hearts and eyes and minds, Lord, toward the things of heaven. And God, you just allow us to be what you want us to be, each and every one of us, God, as we, and God, get ready to leave this door tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you help us to be better Christians and better people. And God, just to point people towards Calvary. And God, I ask, God, that you just help, Lord, one more time. And God, I'm grateful for the things you've already done for me. And God, I know you're going to help us tonight. And God, I'll be sure to thank you for that. God, I love you. And Lord, I pray, God, you just look over us. Lord, lead us and guide us. Lord, help us represent the word of God one more time. And in your name we pray, amen, amen. As we come to this passage of Scripture, I'm just going to go ahead and get to what's on my heart. And I was thinking about this as I was sitting at the house earlier today, and I've preached this once before and had many things on my mind, but Lord just put me here and I couldn't get away from it, Brother John. And so this is where we're going to be at tonight. With the help of the Lord for a little while, I'm going to preach on the day that God shut the mouth of pride. And you say, well, where do you get that at in this passage of Scripture? And we read through this. That story the Bible tells us about how they took Daniel, Braden, they threw him down this den of lions. And everybody in here knows that a lion's a prideful animal. I was talking to somebody a while back ago. He said, you know that a lion will attack an elephant just because it feels like it's as big in here as the elephant is out here. It's going to go after whatever it wants to. Jeff, because it thinks it can do whatever it wants to and whenever it wants to, and because what's on the inside of it. And we know that God had made it real clear in this passage of Scripture that he had put Daniel down here in this den with these lions, and God just spoke to my heart. And the longer I started sitting thinking, and I thought, man, everybody in here, listen, you can't tell me you don't, and can't they tell me there's never ever been a time in your life, Nathaniel, and where you've struggled with pride. Hey man, we've all struggled with pride. And we all think we're something every now and then. And when in reality we're nothing, but just saved by grace if you are. And but listen, friend, we've all had a moment in our life where we thought, Brother Christian, that we were something, and we thought we could do something, and God just had to change your mind. But we read here in this passage of Scripture that there's a day that God shut the mouth of pride. We find God's way of showing pride in our Bible a lot of times is real peculiar to us. And we look at it. And you know why when God shows pride in our Bible that it sticks out to us so much? It's because we're so full of it we can't ignore it. It just sticks out to us. It's because that's how we live. That's how we walk. That's how everybody lives. There's a time in the day where you wake up, Brother Jesse, and you wake up and you put your boots on the ground. And me and Jesse spend a lot of time together. There's days where we wake up and we put our boots on the ground. And we go into that office and we're struggling with pride. You can't tell me we ain't. But listen, there's days where we get up and we start walking for God. And the further we start walking, the further we start stepping to the side, because we're letting pride get in our heart and thinking that we can do something that nobody else can do but God. There's a day that God shut the mouth of pride.
Yes, brother.
I started thinking about this. Verse number 4, it says then, chapter number 6, verse number 4, it says then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. It says, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for so much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 5 says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now listen, the first thing that God showed me as I studied through here, and the longer I started thinking about these passages of Scripture, God just hadn't really put a burden down on the inside of my heart. But I'm just here for a little while to warn you. And I promise I'll get through the hard stuff. You just bear with me. And we'll make it on to the end of this thing here in a minute. But the first thing that God showed me in this passage of Scripture, Kevin, is that pride is what sets the trap. And pride every single time in mine and your life, 99.999% of the time. And when we fall into a trap in this world, it's because pride set out in front of you. It's because you took your eyes off of what really mattered, Jordan, and you started looking at everything else. And thank God you fell into the trap that pride set before you. You fell right into it. Pride sets the trap.
That's right.
You know what our problem is, Jeff, a lot of times. Blakely, you know what our problem is a lot of times? Is we're too dumb to look down and see where the trap's at.
Amen.
I'm just being honest.
You're right.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. A lot of times, Colin, we're too dumb to look at the ground and see where the trap's laying at. And the trap's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And you step in it anyway. You just step in it anyway. Them animals, Jesse, that you always talk about catching, and when they run into that trap, the trap is directly in front of them. But they go in just because they're not concerned about what's around them. And they get caught in a spot they don't want to be in. And because they're not aware of their surroundings.
Right.
Pride's what normally sets our trap for us. Anybody ever seen a snare?
Oh, yeah, brother.
Anybody ever want to step in a snare? Nobody in here would voluntarily just put their foot in a snare, I guarantee you.
Right.
But every day, Jeff, as we walk through this Christian life. But sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes it seems like just every step I take, I step in another one. And the further I walk, there's that many more. You know why that is, Jordan? That's because of me. It's because I take my eyes off God, and every time I take a step, I just step into one of the devil's traps. And then guess what? When you get stuck in a trap, somebody's got to come let you out. Thank God for that. I'm glad that when I do step off in these traps, that the devil sets out before me, that even though I mess up, Jeff, and even though I fall short concerning what God said, that God still comes by. I'm just exactly to where I'm stuck at and loosens that things up, and he takes care of me for a little while and lets me get back on my feet and sends me back down the road again. Pride's a dangerous thing. Pride's probably one of the worst problems that we have now. There's a lot of people that struggle with a lot of different things. There's a lot of people that have different issues with a lot of different things. But one of the biggest issues that we struggle with in the world right now is we've all got pride. And nobody knows how to, listen, I'll just be honest with you. People that don't know God don't know how to get rid of their pride. And they don't know what to do about their pride. And as far as they're concerned, their pride is their personality. And they're not willing to change it anyway. And just because that's all they know, Josh. And but boy, I'm glad that I can tell somebody about a man named Jesus who seen fit to leave everything perfect and come down here to where I was at. Just so he could take that burden off of me. Pride's what sets the trap. You know what pride normally attacks first?
Yeah.
Bob, you know what pride normally attacks first for me and you? Eli, it attacks your faith. Buddy, you stay faithful. You two boys, you stay faithful.
Yeah.
Seeing these men sit on the front row, that gives me hope that after one day when I'm gone, there's still going to be somebody telling somebody about the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, you got to stay faithful.
Right.
And when pride comes your way and the devil throws that out there, Braden, he's going to try to attack your faith in a way to where you say, man, listen, I don't need God. And I don't need God to help me with this anymore. And I don't want God to do this. And I don't want God to do that. And I'm not going to listen to what God's telling me. Just because, Cohen, I don't think I have to. That's what pride wants you to believe. Because it wants you to take your eyes off faith and look directly at it every single time, Preston. Pride don't want God anywhere around it. Because pride can't hang around very long when God shows up. There's no possible way for it to. Next thing I started thinking about here in this passage of Scripture, verse number 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. It says, and his windows began to open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. It says, he knelt down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And I started thinking about this. The longer I looked at it, God just, I mean, I'm telling you, God just really helped me today with this passage of Scripture. And we find that pride's what sets the trap, but we find that prayer was the response. Amen. Keep it. Prayer was the response to what pride had done. I tell you what could have been the response. This is what AJ does. Panic. Panic could have been the response. You know what happens when you start panicking down the mud pit? You don't get out.
What about that?
Good. You don't get out.
Good.
You just start going further and further and further into the mess that you're in, and you just don't get out. But listen, when Daniel had found out that there was an issue that was occurring, and he found that they were charging him just because he trusted in his God, it said that all he done, it said he went into his chamber, it said he got down on his knees, and he don't do what most Christians do nowadays, and just pray one time a day and think they're good. It said he prayed three times every single day, and got a hold of heaven three times every single day. And you say, man, I don't want pride in my life anymore. And you get a hold of heaven and God will change it for you. I can't do nothing for you. And Kevin Sexton can't do nothing for you. And Creston can't do nothing for you. And Scotty can't do nothing for you. But God can make a change if we just hit our knees and ask him to. That's all we got to do. I'm not preaching anything new. I'm not preaching anything that hasn't been said behind this desk. And there ain't much that hasn't been said behind this desk right here. But listen, friend, I'm just here to remind you that there is this thing called pride that we have to battle with. And there are these struggles in our life. Keith, where we really think we're doing something. And we really think, oh, A.J. Waters is it. But in reality, God has to show you that you're still nothing. We're nothing without him. Prayer was the response.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you this, and I don't want you to answer me. Let's be honest with you. I don't care if you go to church at Mason Grace. I don't care if you go to church at Pine Haven. I don't care if you go to church anywhere in the whole world. It don't matter where you go to church at. This question don't. I'm going to tell you that. When's the last time you prayed?
Oh, brother.
Go ahead. Keep going, brother. Yeah.
When's the last time you've prayed? I'm not asking when the last time you've come to church and they said gather around. I'm asking when the last time it was that you prayed.
Right.
When's the last time you took it on your own self to get a hold of heaven and ask God to help you with the things that you're going? When's the last time that you've got down and broke yourself down to a spot and said, listen, I can't do it anymore and I need God to help me? And when's the last time that you've prayed? I'm not asking about you, your significant other, kids. I'm not asking about you, mom and dad. I'm not asking about you, brothers and sisters. I want you to think about when the last time you got a hold of heaven was, and you say, well, I ain't never. Well, there's a big issue there. It's about time we start getting a hold of God and asking God to move in and asking God to help us, Jeff. Because without him, we have no hope. When's the last time that you've prayed? If I ask you when the last time you panicked was, that'd probably be recent, wouldn't it? Something didn't go your way.
Right on. Right on.
And you blamed it on God. And you said, man, that just, I wasn't expecting that to happen. And God, I can't believe you would let that happen to me. God, I can't believe that I'm trying my best to live for you. And you just let that happen to me. That's panic. That's pointing blame at somebody who's never been blamed for nothing. Amen. You can try to blame him for something, but he still ain't guilty of it. When's the last time you prayed? And I ain't going to stay long on this. And I'll move on. I preached a little while back ago about there's over there in Kings where it talks about those prophets of Baal. And I preached about a powerless prayer. Now, when I say this, don't you throw nothing at me. I'm not trying to be mean. I ain't trying to be out of the way. And kids, I want you to listen to me. And people that's my age, I want you to listen to people. Everybody in here, this is something that's real important to my heart. Prayer is more than getting down on your knees and saying the same five words every time you kneel down. You say, well, it works. Well, you got to have a heart right with God when you get on your knee. And I'm going to say this, and I say this everywhere I go, and I mean it everywhere I go, and I'm going to say it until the breath leaves my body. You don't have to ask for something every time you hit your knees neither, Keaton. We start talking about prayer. It's a lot more deep than we make it shallow. We think prayer is just... And I'm going to get off on, I'm going to get away here. You just hang on. But prayer is more than just, you know, when we go sit down and we eat and we, and God, we thank you for this food and you thank you for everything you've done in your name, we pray, amen. That's shallow. Shallow. You want God to bless your life? We say, God, we need your help. We thank you for what you've done. Amen. That's shallow. And you can live your whole life being a shallow Christian if you want to. But there's a whole lot more talking to God than what we think there is. Right. When people, I believe this. When people say you're talking to God like you're talking to a friend, I believe you're talking to God just like we're talking to each other. I believe we'll talk to God, Scott, just like me and you speak to each other. It's exactly how we ought to speak to God. I believe that wholeheartedly. And when we want to find a way out of the pride that we're in, we're going to have to talk to God and say more than just, God, help me. We're going to have to talk to God and put everything we know in our heart and trust in God and ask God to make the difference in our life. I can't tell you how to pray, but I am going to say this. If you're a Christian that's been walking down the road a pretty good long while, your prayer ought to be more than that. Right. Amen.
Sure.
Prayer was the response.
Yep. Right.
I want you to notice this. You notice that Daniel didn't change because of the pride that was around him.
Well, that's right, brother. It didn't affect him.
Blakely, Cohen, all you young men, everybody in here. Young women, everybody. You're going to be around people that are prideful.
Sure.
And I don't care what you say. It's real easy sometimes to let pride change who you are. It's real easy sometimes, Eli, to let pride change how you view the Lord.
Yep.
And just because you get around a bunch of people who try to change your heart and change your mind, and you know in your heart you're born again and saved, and sometimes the noise is on the outside. Scotty said this the other night, and it helped my heart a whole lot. Sometimes the noise is on the outside will affect what you feel on the inside if you let it. But listen, friend, we're going to be surrounded by pride. There's going to be prideful people around us every single day. But that didn't change Daniel. And it didn't change his stance about God. I'd like to be faithful like Daniel was. I don't know about anybody else, but I sure would. If I was as faithful as Daniel was, I ain't going to say I'd be in good shape because I'd still have fault, but I'd be a whole lot better shape than I am right now. Daniel was faithful. Verse number 16, it says, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into a den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet of his lords, that he purposed might not be changed concerning Daniel. And I thought about this. The pit was prepared by pride. There was a king who did not believe that God was who he said he was.
That's right.
There was a king who refused to believe that God was who he said he was. And you got to remember in this passage of scripture that before this point in time, what we read is that there was a time where they said, listen, we're not taking to the king's meat. He said, we're going to eat what we got. He said, we're going to drink water and eat what we got. And it said, they come out far better than anybody else did. Well, then you go on down just a little bit further. And it talks about how that they took the three Hebrew boys and they threw them into the fire. And it said that God was found walking amongst the midst of them in there. And God still prevailed then too. But then we find that this king still so stubborn that he was not able to recognize just exactly who God was and just exactly braving the difference that God can make. That he said, I'm going to give it one more shot to throw these men off the God they believe in and try to get them to avoid what they're going to and to follow after me. And we find that it could not be done because God's just that big. Could not be done.
Right.
Pride wants you to fall.
Yep.
Pride wants you to tell the things that shouldn't be said and to do the things that shouldn't be said. And it wants you to watch the things that shouldn't be watched. It wants you to act the way that shouldn't be acted. It wants you to do all those things.
That's right.
That's what pride wants, Brother Creston.
Right.
And you stand and sit in here, and I ain't trying to be mean.
Go ahead, brother.
We sit in here tonight, and if anybody's like me, and this is prideful, I'll just go ahead and admit it. We sit in here, and we think, man, we're doing good. I'm faithful.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm sticking right in there, and I'm faithful.
Go ahead.
That's a pretty good step of pride creeping in when you have to start a sentence with I.
Amen. Oh, brother, yes.
If you ever start anything that you do for the Lord with I,
yeah, in trouble.
There's an issue.
Right.
If you get down on your knees and you say, well, I prayed today,
yeah,
or I done this, or I got up and said my testimony, God allowed you to get up and say your testimony.
That's right.
But pride wants you to believe that you've done it.
That's right, brother.
Going, pride wants you to believe that the people you talk to, Blakely, Eli, boys, the people that you've talked to, pride wants you to believe that you're the ones who's helped them.
Right.
Amen. When in reality, God is helping you to help somebody else. It ain't got nothing to do. We're not in the equation. We're just carriers of the gospel. And God's just allowing us to be just a small piece of this plan, Isaiah. Hey, listen, I could stand up here all day without God's help and murmur my mouth around and it not make any sense and it not do any good and probably make a whole lot of people mad. And nobody's going to pay attention to that. You know why? Because God's not in it. But when God moves in, he finds that there's a trap that's set by the devil and he sees the pit that God God wants you to go, and that the devil wants you to go in. He's going to try to make you avoid that at all costs. We just got to listen to him.
That's right. Sure.
Have you ever noticed that there's nothing in this Bible that God has ever said that was hard? Don't get quiet on me. Just because we struggle to live it sometimes don't mean it's hard. God made it to where we could do it for a reason. But when God asks us to avoid the pit, we got to listen to what God says.
Yep.
And do our best to avoid the pit and stay away.
Wow.
Yep. Verse number 22. This is where the Lord really helped me at. It says, my God hath sent his angel.
Oh, yes, brother.
And hath shut the mouth of lions. That they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and I also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. And I started thinking about this. And I'll be through. We need to realize that God didn't remove Daniel from the pit. He just removed the danger from it.
That's right. Yeah, brother.
When we fall into the pit, Brother Bobby, and we get in there and we cannot get out by ourselves, God comes down to where you are at and he removes the danger from it. And sometimes he'll let you sit there for a while and dwell about the things you've done.
That's
fine. Sure. Anybody ever thought about how dark that pit probably was?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And when they sealed something then, Jeff, they meant for that joker to stay shut. Because
right.
It seems like they had consistency with wanting to roll stones over the top of everything.
Oh.
But every time they rolled a stone over the top of everything, it never held God in or out of the situation.
That's
not once,
good.
Not any time did it ever keep God from going in and doing what God wanted to. It said they threw Daniel down there, Kevin. It said that they rolled the stone over the top of this den. They said, we're going to leave him there. And by the time we come back, I'd say they probably thought in their mind, well, these lions are going to be full. And they're going to have a feast because we've thrown a man down in there. And I wish I could see the king's face when they rolled that tomb back. And Daniel said, hey, I'm still in here and I'm doing just fine. They've not touched me. Because God made intercession for me just exactly where I was at. And God didn't take me out. But God shut the mouth of the danger that was in the world that day. And God removed the danger from where he was at, Eli.
Oh, yes.
When we get in scenarios, Zach, we get in scenarios, and we think, man, I don't know how I'm going to get out.
Right.
And God just comes by.
Yeah.
And everything you feel is fixed to tear your world apart. I like it in my Bible when the Bible says he looked at that storm. He said, peace be still.
Yep.
That's about the same scenario here. He sent his angel down there and he said, everything's all right. Everything's all right.
Yeah, brother.
You say, why does that bother you? Because, man, I could sit here and tell you thing after thing after thing after thing of stuff that I've done, that I've made a fool out of myself.
Oh,
I've made a mess out of my life. I've made a mess. Listen to me. I've made a mess out of other people's lives. I had somebody tell me the other day, and this broke my heart. I had somebody tell me the other day when I was running from my call to preach, I tried to live so much like the world, maybe God would leave me alone. And I hurt so many people doing that. And I was talking to a fellow the other day, Brother Kevin, and he said, you acted like you loved the Lord for so long. Davis, this hit right where you was at earlier. He said, you acted like you loved God so long, and then you lived just like I lived. He said, and then now all of a sudden you're preaching. He said, I will never forgive you for that. And listen, friend, that hurt my heart. And boy, it broke me down on the inside to think that I caused any kind of mockery to the Lord Jesus Christ's name. But God come down to where I was at when I was living that way, and he shut the mouths of the pride that was in my life, and he made a difference on the inside, and the difference didn't stay on the inside. It moved from the inside to the outside for everybody to see. But
yep.
God will come to where we're at.
Thank God.
Why is it important for us to get away from pride? Because you'll hurt people. You'll hurt people. Hearing him say that the past 3 weeks has just rung through my head, Jeff. He said, I'll never forgive you.
If he gets the Lord, he will.
He said, I'll never forgive you. And the only thing I know to do now is just tell him about Jesus. Every time I've got breath in my body, just tell him about Jesus. And I get up every morning. I'm trying my very best to be faithful to this. I get up every morning. I try to send him a text message of a verse of scripture. And I try to tell him that God loves him. And whether he reads it or not will be up to him. Whether he does anything with it or not will be up to him. But I can do so much to where I'm trying to fix what I messed up. And I believe God will honor that one of these days. And I want to do my very best to try to be where God wants me to be at. But I'm going to have to be sure I stay away from my pride.
Right.
Gonna have to be sure. If Daniel would not have been found faithful, he would have went in this, I believe. Would have been a disaster, Brother Christian.
Oh yes.
If he wouldn't have been found faithful to God, and he was doing what a lot of people want to do now, and putting on a show and say that they love God, and in their heart they know they really don't.
Oh, yes, brother.
Because they're full of pride. He would have got eaten by what he was full of.
Yep.
He'd got eaten on the outside.
Yep.
But he'd also got eaten from the inside to the outside.
That's right. Consumed.
Let's be sure tonight that pride don't get in here. Because when pride gets in here, you know what it does a lot of times, Brother Kevin? It comes out right here.
Oh, yes.
And once it comes out right here, it's out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing mean you can do about it.
Right.
It's just out. Pride's dangerous.
Yeah, buddy.
Young men, young women, pride is dangerous.
Yes.
People my age, pride is dangerous.
Right.
Everybody in here that's older than me,
that's right.
Pride is dangerous.
Always.
There ain't any of us that can outmuscle pride.
That's true. Amen. Good. Good.
We've got a God in heaven.
Oh, yes.
That when we can't do it, Dustin, he'll be sure to show us that he can.
Yes.
Amen, brother. I've cleared my heart. You come on.
Hey.
Or whoever.
Hey, Hannah, come on.